I guess it's a good time to start when everybody's real quiet. Hello, I'm Elle Rhodes, co-founder and director of Brewing Change Collaborative. Up here with me, I have three of our board members slash co-founders, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jennifer Ray Jones. I'm in the Division of Planning for Adult Beverages at Target.
And
part of BCC.
Hello, everybody. I am Jeremy Moran. I am the president of advocacy for Brewing Change Collaborative, and I am also the off-premise sales manager for Sociable Ciderworks.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nasreen Sajadi. I am a co-founder of Brewing Change Collaborative. I was in the industry as a quality manager, but have recently retired, and I am now an educator. I teach science to high school students, and I still do quality consulting on the side for breweries and distilleries.
Awesome. Brewing Change Collaborative is a nonprofit with the mission to foster diversity, equity, and inclusion for people of color in the brewing and beverage industry through education, advocacy, and outreach. It is our third year in formation, and we're very excited about that. We just celebrated our anniversary a week ago, something like that. Thank you. We're quite excited about it. Lots of growth, lots of change. The fact that there are more than two people of color in this room says that a lot has changed in the industry. Yes, which is fantastic. We're going to go through kind of the hows and the whys of BCC and the formation of it, and then a good conversation about DEI as well and how that can be incorporated into not only your lives but your businesses and where you work as well. Let's get right to the beginning, the how and the why of BCC. Nasreen, would you like to tell us, why was BCC started?
Can I do the why and the how?
Sure.
Okay. So what happened, here's the story. So I started working at a brewery, and I was like, whoa, I've never worked anywhere where everybody was white and everybody was male. Where are all the people? I started asking questions, and a lot of people didn't have answers for me. I asked, where are all the BIPOC in this industry? Where is everybody? And I got this like, oh, Brooklyn Brewery has somebody. And I was like, what? This can't be real. And then all of a sudden, Elle showed up at our brewery. And Elle started working with me. And Elle and I connected. And Ramsey, who some of you may know, Ramsey Lauder, he showed back up in Minneapolis from Michigan, and he was about to open a brewery in Minneapolis. It would have been the first black-owned brewery in the Twin Cities. And the three of us got together, and we said, hey, we found each other. There has to be more of us. And so we decided to start this nonprofit. And as soon as we started it, people just came out of the woodworks, and we formed this big group of people that we didn't even know existed in the industry, other than maybe seeing each other at a beer festival and nodding or being excited to see another person in the space. But now we all know each other, and now, since day one, it's just hugs, hugs and love.
Oh, thank you. My computer just
what
decided.
What did I miss? What did I miss?
Nothing. You didn't miss anything, but my computer decided to turn off. So it made my life difficult. There we go. Jeremy and Jennifer, how did you get hooked up with BCC, and what was the importance of that for you?
So I was at the beginning of my journey in the brewing industry. I was working part-time, like my fun job at a brewery, getting out there to the festivals. I became a BJCP judge, and I was kind of just excited to not be the only one anymore. And I don't know, like I would walk into brewing competitions and literally like one, there are very few women, as Nasreen talked about, but then also one of only people of color. And so I really found a community in BCC, people that looked like me, that were just excited about the industry that I was.
My story goes a little bit before the first meeting of BCC. I was talking to somebody else in the industry about, it was a white dude, and we were trying to organize something that was going either to BIPOC businesses and spending money, not really a nonprofit, but more of a group. In that first meeting, Nasreen and Al came to that meeting, and at the end of the meeting, they were like, hey, there's a meeting tomorrow about an actual, like, nonprofit that we're doing, and you should come. And that was the first day that there was eight of us?
Ten
of us. Ten total. Met at La Doña, and ever since then, it's been pretty great to just have kind of like a home in the brewing industry where I'm like, hey, I'm not the only brown dude selling beer or cider around town, you know. It's been really, really magical.
Yeah. My personal experience was a local writer had asked me to be part of a overall kind of hospitality, where is the diversity in the industry, restaurants overall. And when she called me and I answered, she said, am I actually talking to a black person in the beer industry? And I was like, yes, weird question. She is also black, so it wasn't as weird. as weird as that could have been. I was like, yeah. And she's like, you're a unicorn. You're the only one. And I was like, that is uncomfortable. That's a really large realization for me. Both, like, awkward laugh, but wow, what is that? And that was kind of my personal journey into why am I the only one? Why does it look like this here? Am I the only one ever? And as I found out, thank God, no. But at that time, up until about a month ago, I was the only black person, male or female, selling any beverage at all in the state. And that's only because we have one more person now. So that was a large revelation and a large impetus of the start of this organization. So, and we have a number of other BCC members here. BCC, hello. I'm not going to do the call today. but that is my personal story and a lot of other people's stories as well, I'm sure. So when we started this organization 3 years ago, it was a common thread amongst people of they want representation and community and to be able to be involved in that together. Talking about community, segues. what impact has BCC had on the beverage community of Minnesota with members, with breweries, with the broader community? Jennifer or Jeremy?
I think there's BCC has definitely carved out its space in kind of like the more day-to-day or like month-to-month. Every time we do meet, we do take up space at a brewery. But not just any brewery, we do like our homework and make sure, is this going to be a space that feels safe for our community members and us as leadership? That is one of the changes. I mean, also trying to provide a pathway to opportunities within a career in the brewing industry and not just keeping it in like one... The avenues that people know of, beer tending or sales rep.
And can you speak more toward the advocacy and support within the group?
For yeah,
members?
The advocacy part, and this has been a ride for me too, because I've never done any kind of work like this. This is all new for a lot of us. Advocacy in my mind was always kind of leading the charge on a march or something, but advocating in my time here has, I've just learned, can be so wide. So as through Brewing Change, we do have contacts with different nonprofits that can help with legal issues as far as if as expungements, kind of just getting free legal advice or getting a free lawyer to... You know, just trying to provide avenues of education, because I, you know, in my time here, I feel like the biggest thing I learned is education is advocacy, being able to provide room to learn not only about your own culture but cultures around you, allows you to speak very confidently in a room where you might not feel the most confident. Those are the big things. And one thing that we did start doing, thanks to Arash,
Arash.
We started doing
guy circles, which is a safe space for guys to go and talk about not just like what sports are going on, but really dive into like the deep things that are harming us, hurting us, and also challenge toxic masculinity with each other in a space that isn't very confrontational, but just like, hey, this is why we should not think like this, and maybe this is why we are thinking this way, and try to, you know, really root that out.
And Jennifer, as our ambassador throughout the community, can you speak to what BCC is doing in the larger community and with other breweries?
Sure. I mean, I think one thing that BCC has done really good job of being an advocate for those people of color that work in breweries, especially when you think about breweries being a small business community and not always having a dedicated HR person or company, like to have, I think that representation has been really important. Also just the partnerships with, you know, other breweries as far as like doing collaboration, beer collaborations, getting out in the community in terms of like beer fests and just letting the community know who we are, that there is a need for more diversity, because a lot of times I think that people don't understand how non-diverse their world is until they see, oh, what's this tent of people of color over here? Like, what's going on there? So I think just being out and about and seen has done a lot for the community.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Can I add something?
Yes, you may.
I think another beautiful thing about this organization is that it is for all BIPOC, and so we are all learning about each other's cultures and struggles and pain, and we show up for each other in different ways. And that has been, in the last 3 years, we've all had to show up for each other in different ways, because we have our community, but we also have our own communities that we are part of. And when things happen within our communities, we show up and we hold each other and we learn about how we are all struggling in similar ways and how we can show up and unite and become much stronger if we all come together. And that's been one of the most beautiful parts about this organization, is that we can say, hey, we feel there's toxic masculinity or something that we need to address, and it'll get addressed because we are all here, because we are, I think the most important way for us to lead is love. And we want to find a way to make sure we all feel safe in this community that we are building.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Actually, on that, in the services that BCC does provide, can you speak to the range of things that BCC does outside? Because we're not just an organization that is for people that are in the industry, who work in the industry, or things like that. It's for the greater good of BIPOC that are adjacent or a fan of, or cursory knowledge, the things that we provide outside of those things. Are you able to speak to that?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to read all these. You guys can read these things that we do. Creating language for anti-racist and anti-discriminatory statements. Assist business in discriminatory mediation. Offer guidance based on our DEI code of conduct, which we've worked very hard on. Very hard. Thank you, Jennifer. Jennifer is a rock star.
She is.
What else do we do? We do a lot.
We do a lot. Do you want to speak to me?
I don't know if I can. Jeremy?
Offering up these services, and especially in my time, while we offer these services to breweries that want to do partnerships, I think part of it is also just providing like an assessment. You know, every time we've have partnered up with a brewery is talking to them and really analyzing like, hey, this is your house. This is where it needs some work on. Let's work on these areas to make it a safe space first, so then we can continue doing this work. Mm-hmm. And that's whether it's looking at their guidelines or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. Or some initiatives that they want to do, but kind of with us, it does always start at the guidelines.
Yeah, it's always a starting point of let's clean up your own house first.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want to work with us or with other organizations of, hey, we want to do this thing with you. I'm like, okay, let's look at your house first. Because personally, as kind of We are both, Nasreen and I are both moms of this organization, but in different ways. She's the feeling hugging mom, and I'm the one that yells at people. So, like, for instance, we had somebody reach out to work with our organization, and a week after they reached out, it came out that one of their owners had committed this very racist act just recently. So it was very much a realization of, we can't just be out here partnering with people who don't understand how to clean their own houses and make sure that what is in there is equitable and safe for all of us. Because I'm not going to send a family member to work with you or to be a part of your organization and to represent you and have that be a harm to them or a detriment to the community. So that's highly important to the organization.
Yeah, I think that it's hard to list our services on a... Because a lot of the stuff that we do is a lot of just, it's our own labor that we're doing to make sure people feel safe. And that is a big one is when organizations or breweries show up and they say, we want to partner with you, we go roll in deep. We roll like 5-6 deep and we're like, okay, but these are the stories we've heard, so what have you done to make changes in your spaces? Because we're not sending our people to get harassed and hurt in these ways that we've heard you've done these things. And it's a lot of keeping people accountable and sometimes having to hold hands and trying to just make the space safe for people, which is not something we want to do, but it's something that we have to do.
Yeah. I'm going to do this next part just because I have the list. What's next for BCC? We have a ton of things going on in our organization at all times. Like I said, we just celebrated our third-year anniversary, so we had a gala. Which was very exciting. We all got to dress up, and that was a lot of fun. So it was a fundraising opportunity, and opportunity for us all to put on our heels and ties and look real spiffy. But also, that was an opportunity for our community to come out and support us. So we had a number of breweries and companies and people who have supported us over time to support us and congratulate our officers and support us as we move forward into these other initiatives, which include, but are not limited to, BCC 44, which is our partnership with France 44. Their owner, Rick, who is a delight, reached out post the beginning of pandemic, post George Floyd's murder, as, hey, I want to do something, but I don't know what. What can I actually put action to, which is very important for me. I don't care about your money. I want your action. And after time and some healing and just time in general, I went back and said, hey, you've run a successful business that continues to grow for a long time. Show us how to do that. And so we put together an entrepreneurship course with France 44, and he's doing a lot to take in a couple members at a time and basically feed their dreams, help them corral it, what it is that they want to move into for their personal entrepreneurship. So that's been really awesome partnership, and that's actually growing quite a bit this year as they in-house are starting a really exciting program in wine. They're one of the only certified places to be able to train people up in the wine industry, so we're going to be moving into that as well. And, you know, for free, which is very important, so that it's equitable for everybody. We also have our annual retreats, which we try to do twice a year, which is an opportunity for us all to get together and get out of the city to be able to have community, but also have like self-care sessions. Last summer retreat, aside from the don't do it, outside of the BCC Olympics, which was a lot of fun. We also had someone, a member there, to work through some breathing sessions and also yoga and just really great things to help us like center and heal for ourselves. We're starting a farm series for BIPOC people in farming. There's very few, I'm sure as you know, BIPOC-owned farms, but there are quite a few very little farm communities that are trying to grow. So we're putting our members out there so that they can get into farming themselves and also help other farmers grow their, you know, systems and everything, so that we, you know, they have very little amount of money for certain things, and staff is not always one of them, so being able to help them as well. We also have our field trip series, which is getting out in the industry and learning about different aspects of the industry. We're not just beer, we're distilling, we're cider making, we're wine, we're non-alcoholic beverage, so we're in all of those spaces. And so being able to allow for our members to get involved in all of those different pockets is something that we're doing there as well. And then we consistently show up at the Beer Dabbler, which, if you don't know, is a local organization owned by the Growler, I still believe is how that organization works, but it's like a giant festival. So it gives us an opportunity to have a tent out there and table and have a community and introduce ourselves to people who aren't aware of us in the industry. And then long term, I'm sure Jennifer will be leading a little bit of the on-hand 101, as she is super experienced and knowledgeable in the industry. So we're continuing to work on our education, and we are moving into also having a physical space sometime in the next year. So that'll be very exciting and a lot of labor and mental energy. So that's also exciting brewery space for us. And also the BIPOC Brewing Pass, which is a partnership with a number of local breweries to be able to give BIPOC people a free pint at a number of local breweries that want to partner with us. And, yeah, I think that's the full list of everything. And then the Broken Clock Partnership Series, which we still have going. It's called the Messenger Series. It highlights different people in all of the BIPOC community history to shed a light on things that people don't know about in our history. First one we did was on the Pullman Porters, and it continues to be a new highlight each series. So I think that might be about it right now.
We have the internships, too, that we've been working on.
Yes. That's part of the educational series.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on. If you don't know where to find out all about those things, Brewing Change Collaborative on all of the social medias, except TikTok. We don't do TikTok.
Not yet.
At least not as an organization. As an organization, we don't do TikTok. Yeah. Okay. So moving on. DEI, what is it really? I'm going to ask Jennifer first, because you've been quiet for a minute. What does diversity mean to you?
To me, it just means bringing in people from different backgrounds that have some degree of difference. And I think what's really important, I know we're moving on to the next, is the inclusion part. And a lot of it, I think of it in a business standpoint. If you're bringing people onto your business that are diverse, like, that's great, but you have to find a way to bring them truly into the company or the area and include them in everything. And I think that's even more important because once you get, you know, people of color on, if you do not nurture that and understand what that means, it the person will likely leave and it's not going to mean anything. But that's kind of how I would sum it up.
Perfect. Because at this point we transitioned from just talking about ourselves to including you. Is there anybody in the room who wants to share what diversity means to them in reference to perhaps a change of thought process over time of what diversity meant? Like, you know what it means now, what did it mean then, or vice versa for you? Yes. Hi, Ashley.
I think it's important to not separate diversity from equity and inclusion. Mm-hmm. Diversity is somewhat kind of like the gateway drug to the real world, in my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. Diversity is steps, where equity and inclusion are the thought and the action.
Definitely, definitely. And I think that a lot of people feel like they can take on one without taking on all the others. Definitely. But I also think that most people don't actually know what it means when they talk about diversity or when they talk about inclusion or especially when they talk about equity. I feel like equity is commonly misunderstood. Yeah. Thoughts? At all? No? Cool. Ooh, there we go. So equity, speaking to it, is promoting justice, impartiality, and fairness within the procedures, processes, and distribution of resources by institutions or systems. Tackling equity issues requires an understanding of the root causes of outcome disparities within our society. And I feel like that is honestly the starting point of most of our issues within this industry. It's the whole, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality, which drives me insane. And I think that is the willful disregard of equity. Do you guys have anything you want to say about that? You don't have to. Does anybody else? Thank you, Ashley. Have anything they want to speak about in terms of their experiences or thought process about any of those terms, diversity, equity, or inclusion? Okay.
I think that people need to recognize that when they do not have these practices in their spaces, that it is an unsafe environment for people who do not fit the norm. And people don't think about how violent those spaces are for us to exist in. And I think there needs to be more conversation about that. Maybe not right now, but it's something that we need to move forward on and understand. Mm-hmm. Or we could talk about it now. I don't know.
Yeah.
You take the lead.
Wow. I don't know what's happening over there. ours is a much more subdued panel than that one. Can anybody speak to how you support DEI in your current business or reflections of other businesses where that has clearly been absent, where you have something that could have reflected on it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, speaking specifically to Lionsden, I think that has been always a benefit of the collaborative, because as opposed to one person being out there on your neck alone, we speak as an organization that carries weight. So we walk in as an organization representing our community, and that has a voice, that has weight to it, and it usually draws more attention and credence to it. Also, as opposed to being that person that spoke up and then you got fired or whatever, that alleviates that as well. For the panel, what is your piece of advice for getting started or implementing these things in workplaces?
I think it's really important for this work to be a part of who you are as an organization, apart from anything else, and knowing that this is going to be a key part of your culture as a business. It's not something that you can check off a list or something that you do when you have a free moment, but something that's just is integral to how you do business. So I think that's the first thing in establishing a D&I program or strategy.
Yeah, from my end, it really comes down to the roots. Building a plan, and if not knowing how to build a plan, being able to ask, how should I build this plan? Because if you're not even taking that step, there is no step after, right? That's where you just stand. Kind of building, you know, talking to community members, being able to engage and realize that you're doing things wrong, and admit to yourself that your space isn't perfect, and that it can be worked on, you know.
And it's okay to be wrong. I think that's one thing that I think hampers a lot of people from beginning in this, is they're afraid of taking a wrong step, but that's okay. We're all going to take wrong steps. It's how you own up to it and how you move forward. I think that really is what really matters. And I also think trying to do too much too soon and getting overwhelmed can also hamper some of the work as well. If you don't know where to start, there are people out there. You do not need to be the expert, but start small and go from there. You don't have to cure racism in a day in the brewing industry. You can take it one step at a time.
I think I agree with all of the things you guys have said. I also think that to start it off, you have to show up humble and know that you need to create space for other people to speak and to communicate and recognize your own privileges in these spaces if you are a white person or male too, or straight. And prepare to be uncomfortable, which I think was mentioned, because it's a lot of challenges of ideas that people are not used to hearing. And you're going to have to get uncomfortable and sit in your own privilege and understand how difficult it can be for people to exist in this world. And a lot of people cannot handle hearing that. A lot of people cannot handle hearing that. And
that's probably step number one, is seeing someone else, being able to see someone else's life.
Yeah. On that, how do we involve our employees from underrepresented populations without making them feel tokenized? Because once you start highlighting that you're working on something and then you pull out the, well, you can help us with this, how do we avoid that?
I'll start it. I mean, that's, and you know, I have a very different experience too. One, I don't know if it's the fact that I'm from New York, I'm very open and say things outright, but that has happened at my job where it's like, hey, Jeremy, this is kind of going on. Do you want to run lead on this? And just the fact that they acknowledge it, or even if they don't know that something's going on, I can go up and be like, hey, this is wrong. Okay, you're going to ask me to do it. No. You can find people who will help you along this process and guide you along the way. And that's, I don't know, that's just from a business side, being able to open up the conversation, talk to your employees and admit that you're wrong and being like, hey, we see these faults in our cracks. You know, I think Google, like in the age of Google, they should be able to like open up the internet, find nonprofits and contact anybody who is available or even people who are doing this as their business and pay them to come in and help out. But there's just too much of that being asked of an employee without paying the employee the extra wage and or salary that would take. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a big part.
I
don't know if there's a way.
Emotional labor.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's a way to not be tokenized necessarily, but people need to recognize the amount of labor that goes into being tokenized. And people, because like if I work in a space and I'm the only person of color and I'm not approached about something that is regarding people of color, and these folks are trying to just resolve the issue on their own without talking to me, that's going to piss me off more than them trying to tokenize me, you know? That's going to make me more mad that they didn't bother talking to me and I'm right here, you know? Or I could have guided them in a direction and have said, hey, look, I don't have capacity to take this on, but you can go pay this other person to do this labor for you instead of asking me to do it. And so I don't know where the line is, or it's probably case by case, really.
I think you bring up a really good point. I think it's an important question, because I don't think you have to take people of color that you work with as partners without being like, you do this, or I need you to help be a voice for this. I think there's a way in which you can allow people of color to be as involved or not involved as they feel comfortable. And allow them to make the choice, honestly. Yeah.
So, like, within that statement, in this industry, as a woman of color in this industry, for about 9 years, I want to be seen. I want to be seen as a woman of color. I also want to be involved, like you said, Nazri, in those conversations, too. So it is, I feel like, a hard balance for people to be like, well, do I talk to this person of color and ask them what they think, or am I tokenizing because I am taking that one person of color in our local industry, and I'm asking them these questions? So there is a fine line, but there is a way to do it respectfully, and I think that is kind of something we also have to broach, especially in this industry where people don't know necessarily how to talk.
Right, about color.
Yeah.
About color.
Right.
And especially don't know how to talk to women.
About almost anything.
I think within all this, one of the biggest things is empathy. Being able to start the conversation with empathy and not kind of like, you know, you got to respect the person you're speaking to, and that's how the conversation starts. Empathy and respect. You know, that's the starting point, I think. Yeah. But
I think a lot of it goes to being able to speak to your discomfort in that situation. Like you said, being uncomfortable, approaching someone with the humility of, I am uncomfortable about this, but this is something I want to address. You can let me know what you're comfortable with in terms of this, and then going, like, it's all communication, right? The foundation of any problem is usually a breakdown in communication. Maybe a breakdown in communication over there. Don't know what's happening. But I think coming at anything from a perspective of, I don't know the answer to this or the solution to this problem. I don't have the tools. I'm happy to have that conversation with you. And if you're willing to, would love the guidance. If you're not, if you're willing to point me in the direction, or if you're totally not willing to have that conversation, I hear you, I understand that, and I will find another way. Mm-hmm. So those things are foundationally important.
Yeah.
I'm interested only because you said something about being from New York.
Yeah.
And she said something to me a couple of days ago about, you know, we talk about white privilege and we need to continue to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Do any of you working with each other, because all black brown experiences are not the same. Mm-hmm. And if you grew up in certain areas, you might have a privilege, but yeah, I can shoot it, you know, with the best of them. I don't care who they are. Mm-hmm. Versus someone who may be
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. We have somewhere around 30-plus-ish regular attending members. That means people who come through at the meetings and hangouts and the field trips and all those things. And I think none of our experiences overlap as identical.
Yeah.
So
very, very different.
Yeah, and there have been people who have had great experiences and people who have had a lot. Yeah, the intersectionality within our group is high.
Yeah.
There have been certainly different levels, and as a group, different levels of things that we've experienced too. So, I would definitely say.
I don't know. And to kind of continue off that, I think, like, one, we built the space, and within our guidelines is you will be challenged, you will be uncomfortable. I always think to my mind, like, I don't know how some white dudes can't just be empathetic and see other people's experiences when the guy from the Bronx who grew up in, like, Little Italy, where it was not, like, you know, there is a lot of bad going on in there, a lot of bad taught in, and if I was able to kind of, like, root those things out, like, let's work together, let's root these things out, but, like, yeah, everybody's experience is very different.
Or anything about BCC or what we've done or what we're going to do that you want to speak to? I want to make sure that we get to that before she comes back and flashes me a thing.
Yeah.
What is the question? Sorry, now I was looking for the flashing.
Don't look for the flash. Is there anything about BCC or about what we're doing or the community in general that you want to share before we run out of time?
I'm excited for the space. You know, having a space where the community can come in, relax, teach, learn, you know, even trade resources, and really just connect everybody to what they need. That's what I find really important.
See the flash. I appreciate it.
Jen?
No, I think everybody's said that we've got a lot coming and a lot of excitement.
And that space is going, at the root of everything we do is advocacy and education. So it will be a space that allows for people to come in from different cultures, from all of our intersectionalities, and be able to learn from each other. And that is really at the heart of what this organization is. Speaking of places we can be, we are gathering tonight and Wednesday at a BIPOC-owned brewery, Arbiter, which is on Minnehaha.
3038 Minnehaha.
Thank you, 3038. Yes. Yeah, yeah, in the third precinct area. We're going to have just a happy hour gathering for everybody that wants to come through. Certainly a BIPOC, we'll have a lot of people there for that. But also on Wednesday, we have our Brewing Change Collaborative and Arbiter Brewing beer release that we did. And then our Black Brewers podcast is going to be live podcasting from there as well. So it'll be a lot of things happening. Does anybody have questions about the organization or what we've talked about? Yep.
Are you guys, it sounds like you're primarily in Minneapolis, and do you have plans to have satellite branches in other cities like Milwaukee?
Oh, as a suggestion? Yes, actually. I mean, we have people who consider themselves members or like friends and family of BCC all over, even including Brazil and London and all these other places, which is awesome. Our meetings happen in Minnesota, but at some point we will, you know, satellite out and have other factions of BCC in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes,
Eugenia. There was plenty of a couple, well, very like before the first meeting,
yeah.
There was that meeting that we were talking about with someone in the industry who wanted to talk about diversity. This is a white man. And when we told him we were starting a BIPOC-focused nonprofit, and he said, oh, I have people that would be really interested in that, and, like, send them to us. He's like, well, I want to be a part of it. I'm like, well, this isn't about you.
Yeah.
It's not for you. And he's like, well, I don't feel comfortable sending people to a thing I can't be involved in, which was a thing.
Yeah.
It definitely shed some light on that person and the things that they do. I would say by and large, the reception of our nonprofit has been positive and really encouraging and encouraged throughout the community. And awareness has been like continuing to grow from day one. There are occasionally, and not so much anymore, groups or people, individuals who would say, why can't I be a part of this thing? And the answer is still the same. We are an inclusive and inward-focusing nonprofit with an outward face.
Mm-hmm.
We're here for each other, but we're happy to collaborate with everybody.
Yeah.
We're happy to have allies. We're happy to have supporters. We're happy to have companies, not just breweries, you know, large corporations mm-hmm. who want to support us and who understand the mission. But we're not for them. The advocacy is not for them. The advocacy is for us.
Yeah.
And to be able to get us, you know, on an ever-growing, more level playing field.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you had a question, sorry.
What was the name of the podcast?
Black Brewers Black Podcast. Very clear, straightforward.
To the point.
And, I actually have a question that...
Yeah.
I actually have a question that we did want to ask, which was... So, coming into these things, who, like, are decision makers also in the room right now? So, like, perfect. Yeah.
Raise your hand.
If you can make, like, decisions on diversity and inclusion, raise your hand. This is actually
really great.
Because so often, you know, at conversations like this, whether it's diversity and inclusion, women's rights, and all that, it tends to just... be the people who are already in for the cause and not able to make change, who don't have the power in the structure to influence change. But this is wonderful. Thank you for like coming out and also like...
To follow on that question, how many of you have started initiatives to do the training or awareness or things growing? Perfect. They don't have to be short hands. Put your hand all the way up. Yes, please. Who are you? Who is we?
Oh, I'm Melissa with Back Channel Brewing.
Oh, thank you.
It's about inclusion. Be the reason someone feels welcome, seen, valued, and loved. And it's a good way to start the conversation with our team. But we put that accountability back on them because they are our business, and that's how we want to be perceived and...
Fantastic.
That's amazing.
Anybody else want to share something that they're doing? Yeah.
I'll share my experience.
Who are you?
I'm Karen, or Scotty. Karen, that's easier. I'm in Brookhaven, Michigan. Our small brewery is a very wide, dominant area, and I have just the bluntness to put my Black Lives Matter flag, a huge flag, and my LGBTQ flag right in the entrance in a very, very big area. If I can tell you how many people, community members, other business owners have told me that that's not very appropriate for my business, that I'm going to lose business. I've had
fact because of my blood. I just said, I don't, oh, I shouldn't be picking sides, and like all the negative comments that I've heard from that. And what I say back, I pick human side. And if that makes you uncomfortable, don't come back.
Yeah.
But this is what I, this is what we are, this is what we represent. And yeah, if you are part of that, you are welcome here. And yeah, it really just, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's very freeing to choose to represent something that you care about. Like, people aren't politics. It's very freeing to say, you know what? Fuck you. Like, I don't care. I'm going to choose people. Mm-hmm. Right? And there have been several people. What was that? We did a breathing conversation. Remember that one? The second one? Like, don't be a Gary. Because Gary's like, I'm not going to buy your beer anymore. We're like, okay. Go ahead, Gary. Don't be a Gary. Yeah, it's important to be able to, it's important to have the thought process, but also be able to speak to that thought process. Don't be somebody who feels it inside but won't represent it outside. That's incredibly frustrating. Yeah.
You're obviously helping when it comes to socioeconomic impact of things as well. So I'm curious, how has it been working, like, with economic development, the, you know, government relations?
We're still growing in those things, actually, which I'm expecting to change around a lot over the next year. As our own internal organization firms up on its goals and you know, because we started, honestly, as a group of people who are just like, hey, I'm BIPOC too, and we're just in a room, and then we realized we want to do things, and what does that require? Oh, money, and oh, we have to be a nonprofit, and it's a process. So we are actually starting those conversations this year, so ask me next year. Anybody else? Yeah.
Do you work with the state guild at all?
Yes? Question mark. I would say our guild has identified themselves as more of a trade organization than a representative organization, which is disappointing. As we asked for support and them to, you know, have a backbone and a cause. I would say that is still a developing relationship.
There are definitely meetings that have happened.
Yes. There have been conversations.
Yeah, there's conversations that have happened.
We would love for that partnership to be more cohesive.
Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Do you have final thoughts?
Oh, another question. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Oh, the Messenger series?
Yes.
Yes, it's with Broken Clock Brewing Company. Part of the developments of the racial equity committee that they formed with us, which Jennifer could speak to, certainly.
Are there specific questions?
Specific other questions or related questions? Okay. So, again, we're Brewing Change Collaborative. Follow us on all socials. Brewing Change Collaborative, Brewing Change MN, Instagram, Facebook. All the things. There's specific groups for everybody, and then there's a members group if you're BIPOC and want to know what we're talking about and when we're meeting and all of that sort of stuff, too. And I think that's it. Thank you, Jennifer and Jeremy and Nasreen and myself.
And
if you have any questions after, please come talk to us.
We're going to be at that...
We have the expert sessions.
Expert sessions.
Yeah.
What time is it?
We can talk about it later.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.